On today's episode, we're talking tokenization at Nike and the ECB, exchange insights with Galen Moore, and Maddox Collapse. It's Wednesday, December 11th, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Adam B. Levine, editor of podcasts here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on news and numbers impacting crypto markets today. This episode is sponsored by consensus2020.com. Bitcoin is down slightly this morning, about 0.8% over the past 24 hours to $7,248. Ether is down 0.4% to $146, while XRP from Ripple is up 0.4% to 22.2 cents. In traditional markets, all eyes are glued on the Federal Reserve, with the U.S. Central Bank's latest statement on monetary policy due out at 2 p.m. Washington time today. No change is expected to the Fed's benchmark interest rate, though Fed Chair Jerome Powell could give clues as to the panel's thinking on monetary policy and markets as we head into the final weeks of 2019. S&P 500 futures are little changed, and the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield is steady at 1.83%. Gold is up 0.2% to $1,471 an ounce. Brad, tell us what we're seeing in today's Bitcoin markets.
Well, Adam, Bitcoin essentially unchanged so far this morning, up just slightly around $7,200, still stuck in that range between $7,800 and $6,900, where we've been stuck since the third week of November. CoinDesk's Omkar Godbole reports that price charts are looking slightly bearish and potentially Bitcoin could trade down toward a support level around $7,100. And prices would have to rally all the way above 7,870 to mark the confirmation of a bullish reversal. In crypto news, the European Central Bank policymakers are meeting in Frankfurt this week to discuss the prospect of launching their own digital currency, the Irish Times reported, citing officials familiar with the matter. And the crypto industry continues to suffer reputational blows with new reports of alleged fraudsters and suspicious activity. CoinDesk's Nikilesh Day reports that U.S. authorities arrested three alleged scammers attached to the BitClub network on Tuesday. The group successfully defrauded investors of some $722 million through a mining pool Ponzi scheme. The alleged scammers created fake figures meant to demonstrate BitClub's earnings from its Bitcoin mining pool to its investors between April 2014 and December 2019, according to authorities. In a statement, authorities described the alleged scheme as a, quote, classic con game, end of quote, with a crypto twist. CoinDesk's Danny Nelson reports that according to the U.S. Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which monitors money laundering, crypto companies have filed 7,100 suspicious activity reports since May. Kenneth Blanco, the unit's director, said that while the numbers are high, it's encouraging because it shows companies are actively flagging suspicious transactions. Venezuela, in particular, appears to be a hotbed of activity, Blanco said. U.S. regulators continue to take a slow approach to blockchain technology. In Senate testimony on Tuesday, Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Jay Clayton called blockchain technology promising, but said the agency is trying to protect investors and markets while still aiming to foster both innovation and capital formation. Turning to China, CoinDesk's Wolfie Zhao reports that the country's securities watchdog is reportedly setting up a technology regulation bureau and may appoint Yao Qian, the former head of the central bank's digital currency initiative, as its new department chief. Finally, and we all knew this would happen, Cointelegraph reports that the footwear giant Nike has patented a system for tokenizing shoes on Ethereum's blockchain. They're calling it, obviously, Crypto Kicks. The patent, dated December 10th, would allow buyers to securely trade or sell a real pair of shoes, as well as the digital representation of those shoes, in a cryptocurrency wallet or what was described in the patent document as a, quote, digital blockchain locker. There's another feature. Holders could, quote, breed, end of quote, the digital shoe with another digital shoe to create a hybrid known as shoe offspring. Back to you, Adam.
Hey folks, Adam B. Levine here to remind you about Consensus, the anchor event at each year's Blockchain Week NYC, hosted by CoinDesk. This year, it's all happening May 11th through 13th, 2020, and you're not going to want to miss what's planned. In previous years, speakers have included Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang, Coinbase CEO and co-founder Brian Armstrong, and BitMEX CEO Arthur Hayes. But prices go up this Friday, December 13th at midnight Eastern Time. Save $500 on your pass and register now. Visit consensus2020.com and hit get tickets for more information. We'll see you in May. For today's featured story, we're joined by CoinDesk analyst Galen Moore, who recently spoke with the CEOs of Binance US, FTX, and Alameda Research about what makes an exchange liquid. So what were the big takeaways from your conversation?
I think one of the important things is that both Catherine and Sam agree that trading fees are going to come down. You know, the sort of 1%-ish, you know, that's a kind of a premium that the market won't be able to charge as it matures, if it matures. And it's interesting, you know, you have this sort of dynamic where the data feeds that the exchanges provide are free and are kind of a marketing vehicle, and then they bring traders in and charge these fees. I think as crypto becomes something that's not as novel and the market maybe consolidates a little or matures a little, you'll see those fees start to come down. Another interesting kind of way of looking at the market is, you know, one of the questions I was asking both Binance and FTX is why they list all these very small and thinly traded assets. And I mean, all crypto is fairly thinly traded by most people's measures, but especially some of the kind of really long tail coins and crypto assets, like, for example, Dogecoin. What is the driver? And is that really bringing traders on and liquidity into the market? And their answer was absolutely yes. I mean, kind of the way that I would have thought about this is, well, you come in for the Bitcoin and then maybe you see something interesting and you want to sort of try trading that. In fact, the real driver of bringing people onto a new exchange is the other way around, according to both Sam and Catherine. People come in because the exchange has that one asset that they are invested in or feel passionate about or really want to trade. In the case of FTX, maybe it could be long or short. Once they're onboarded onto the exchange and have gone through that switching cost, then maybe if they like what they're experiencing, they'll trade some of the better known assets there as well. So that was interesting just to say how much, you know, kind of the dinky coins matter for the big coins.
So incorporating a coin that has an audience but doesn't yet actually have an exchange is almost like a marketing expense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it, Adam. The reason for adopting a new exchange is not going to be because of some small feature that they have that makes it a little bit better or easier to trade there on Bitcoin. It's just like at your bank when you think about it that way. It's hard for banks to get people to switch. You see banks offering bonuses for signups, $500, $600, $900 to open a new account. You know, something like this is kind of similar. Listing a coin that people really want to trade is one of the things that will bring new traders onto the platform.
You know, you mentioned trading fees and how we see sort of a 1% if you add up kind of both sides of the trade, and that actually is high compared to other markets. What's a normal rate in traditional markets? And is there an expectation on where we might see fees go in crypto?
You look at Schwab and TD and other discount brokerages, and most of them are down to zero. Fidelity has gone down to zero for their customers. You know, it's hard to say, like, well, what should the number be or where is it? And, you know, that 1% number is fairly loose. There are plenty that offer trading fees fairly less than that. It's a fair point that the cost of trading in crypto is relatively high to other asset categories, and it's likely to come down over time.
You know, one of the things about our industry is there's been a lot of talk for a long time about this sort of institutional interest that's just hanging out there in the rafters, just sort of waiting to pounce. I think I've been hearing this story for 3 years now. You know, with these exchanges, kind of what was their take on the institutional appetites?
Yeah, I mean, I've been skeptical on that narrative, you know, that the institutional money is waiting to come in for some time. And both Catherine and Sam share my skepticism on that. One insight that was interesting from them is that, okay, first of all, even if there was that institutional interest waiting in the sidelines, the markets aren't ready for it yet. That infrastructure isn't there. And we talked about a number of specific aspects in which that might be true. You know, looking at the way exchanges are structured, even something as simple as API rate limits can make it prohibitive for a so-called institutional trader to participate. There's a long way to go for these markets to mature to the point where they'd even be ready for institutional, large financial institutions to use them. The question remains, like, whether large financial institutions, whether this is even really a blip on their radar yet.
Well, Galen, I think that one of the more exciting parts about this is that this conversation that you had actually went out live. The next conversation you're having is about earning interest on Bitcoin and Ether with, as you said, some of these kind of larger funds. And if anybody's interested in listening to that or tuning in live, they can check the show notes for this episode and they'll find links to both the entire article we're talking about as well as to the research webinars, signups in general.
It's going to be great, Adam. We're going to have Kyle Samani from Multicoin Capital and Jordan Clifford from Scalar Capital. These are investors who do think about lending and staking and other ways to turn crypto into an income generating asset. You know, how you can think about that, how you can evaluate risk and return, and what that sort of developing crypto lending market is starting to look like.
And now for our altcoin spotlight, Maddox Market Collapse. Brad has the details for you and what it all means for crypto traders.
Today, we're looking at Matic, ticker symbol MATIC, which is a token from the Matic network. The Matic token started trading in April of this year and is listed on the Binance exchange. It has a market capitalization of about $96 million. We're focusing on Matic today because it's been the source of some pretty incredible speculation over the past week. Matic fell some 41% just in the past 7 days, one of the industry's worst performers. For comparison, Bitcoin is essentially unchanged over the period. CoinDesk's Omkar Godbole reports that Matic had been rallying over the prior weeks, but just in the past few days has plunged. The exact reason for the sell-off isn't known, but Binance CEO Changpeng Zhao tweeted that the Matic team had nothing to do with the price drop and the crash was likely caused by panic selling. Some investors on Twitter and elsewhere suggested that the sell-off may have been caused by manipulative dumping or even selling by company insiders, especially given the recent unlocking or release of 248 million Matic tokens by the team. Sandeep Naiwal, chief operating officer and co-founder of Matic Network, tweeted a defense of his team, saying they had nothing to do with the drop. He said a majority of tokens are still in Matic's foundation wallet and that the unlocking happened in a staggered manner, quote, so there is no large sell pressure on the community, end of quote. The unlocked tokens amounted to just 0.25% of the total supply, according to Matic. In a blog post, the company accused one Twitter user of creating fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Matic, for its part, is down another 7% over the past 24 hours. Back to you, Adam.
Join us again on Thursday for the next Markets Daily from CoinDesk. And if you have any thoughts or comments on the show so far, send us an email at podcasts@coindesk.com. Thanks for listening.